So I'm opening Visual Basic and I'm going in and looking for what did I decide? Basic math had some if statements in it, right? That was the one we looked at last time.
That's correct.
Where was that again, Sylvie? New project.
The one I think is basic math. But I may discover, and I was wrong. So it was, therefore, first math. Sorry, folks. I did a lousy job of naming these.
I find that to be a huge issue with how I write code, coming up with efficient names.
Yes.
Because at first they seem to make sense, but then while you're doing it, you're like, this would have been better if I named this something else.
So we'll hope that this one is it. Yes, this one is it. Okay, I added in last time this button that said first. It didn't used to be there. I went in and put in the button that says first, and I called it, if I look at it, I called it button first, okay? And the text property I changed to say the word first. So this is called button first. BTN first. And I added that to the project because I wanted a basic if statement. Okay, so now if I double click on this, it shows me the code. And the code that I wrote was, if text first is greater than 6, okay, text first being a text box that I have on the form, if text first is greater than 6, then take it, multiply it by 10, and put it in the answer. Else, take it and multiply it by 5 and put it in the answer. Now, the big thing to notice here is the difference between JavaScript and Visual Basic. JavaScript would have said the if, and then there'd be curly braces around that text answer.text. Then it would be an else, and it would have curly braces around this. Okay. Visual Basic uses the else to tell it when the if it's true part is done, and it puts in an end if to tell when the else part is done. Okay. So JavaScript uses curly braces to terminate. This uses the end if to terminate. Certainly, if I'd been invited to make a decision, I like this one better. Yeah.
So this would more fit pseudocode. Because in pseudocode, yes, we're putting in.
Yeah, that's right.
It would translate better.
That would translate better. But languages like C and JavaScript and Java all require the curly braces. Okay? And then there are other languages that let you do the else and the end if. And then there are languages that let you do both, let you make a choice as to which way you want to do it. Okay, so there is the basic if statement. Okay, now I can also make a nested if statement if I want to. And up above I think I have some of those. Okay, so here, if I go in and look at this and say start, And it is slow today. So these text boxes are called text first and text second. So now I am saying, okay, I put 123 in here, 123 in there, and I hit question one, and it comes back and tells me those are the same. Okay? So I've checked to see if those are the same. I can also put in here dog and dog, and that will also come back and tell me the same. If I put dog and cat, it comes back and tells me different. So I was just comparing those two things. Okay? So it came back with the text that I want to put into text answer is same, or the text that I want to put in text answer is different. One of those two. Okay. Now I came down to question two. This has a nested if, so we'll look at that first. And then look at the answer. Okay, so this has a nested thing. So I'm asking one question. Okay, and if that question is true, then I am doing a calculation. Or I'm putting something out. Okay, so this is question one. If it is false, then I take the else. And in the else, I'm asking another question. And if it's yes, and if it's no. So I do different things here. And then I close it up. And then I come back and close this up. So that's the structure that I have there. Yes.
You put C in into the first if. How are you still allowed to type letters? Doesn't that mean you're only supposed to put numbers? Or no? That just covers it.
It covers basically no. All right. Back when I did it before, I didn't have C int.
Okay, when you put dog and cat.
Yes. Okay. I didn't have C int. Now I can put dog and cat in, but it's not going to compare because it can't convert to integer and that sort of thing. Okay, so I am asking if the first is greater than the second, and if it is, I say first is greater than second. Then I say first is less than second, first is equal to second. Okay, so I'm asking, this first question is asking, is it greater? And the next question is asking the less, and so the equals goes over that way. Okay? So, basically, everything that comes in on the form is text. And so if I don't convert it to integer, it does a text kind of comparison. Okay? And let me take a picture of this and then go back. Okay, so if I look at the form, it's got two numbers that I'm putting in there. And if I run this and I put in 45 and then I put in 5. Okay, when it does a text comparison, and I know it's doing a text comparison because the numbers are all pushed over that way, and when they're pushed against the left wall, it means it's text. Numbers go in against the right wall. So if I put in there 45 and 5 as text, 5 compared to 4 is going to mean the second number is bigger because it's doing a text comparison. Okay, it's doing a text comparison. And 5 is greater than 4. Okay. If I tell it to convert it to integer, which I did, then when I do it, and that was question 2, it comes out and says first is greater than second because I converted it to a number. And when I converted it to a number, I basically said, act like it's 45 and 5 and compare it as a number, and then 45 is bigger. Okay, so when I compare it, pardon me?
I'm surprised it even worked for question 1.
Yeah, no, with question 1, well, we can do question 1 and try it. Okay, so that is the 45 and the 4, but I think I was asking for equal. Okay, in question 1, but we can change it and go in for the greater than. So essentially, when I say convert to integer, I make it integer numbers. And comparing numbers, it understands how numbers work and that the unit's position is less than the tens position, so a two-digit thing is going to be bigger than a one-digit thing. And it understands that. Okay? But when it does a text comparison, it compares the text. Okay? So that's why when you're doing a comparison, it is nice to do the conversion and not count on it to be able to figure it out. Okay? So in this one, wait a minute, there's clearing is what I want. So in this one, it compared, and it says first is greater than second. Okay, so if I go back, well, that's the equal. If I went back and took out these convert integers, then it is going to, and take all of those convert integers out, then it is not going to work correctly when I put in text. Okay? So that's why I turned all of those into numerics, so that I would do a numeric comparison. Okay? Checking for equal was a little different, because when you're checking for equal, you're looking to see if it's the exact same thing. And so it doesn't matter whether it's comparing text or number. It's looking for exactly the same thing. And that's why the equal worked out. Okay, so the basic point is that if you're doing a comparison with data that is out on coming in from a text box and it's numeric, it's better to convert it. And C integer works. And CDEC also works. That converts to decimal. And VAL works with anything. VAL converts anything to either an integer or a decimal. So you can use CINT, or you can use... Okay. So if I go out here and delete that, and now I type C, D, and there's C decimal. And C double also is a decimal number. So there's C decimal and there's C double. Okay, and they can be used if you are using a decimal number. Okay, and I'll change that back to integer. I think I'll change it back to integer. There we go. Okay. Now, up until now, we've been looking at things that are coming in off the text box. And so they have been defined on the text box. text answer was defined on the text box as a text box. And that's one of the nice reasons why you use those first three letters to tell what kind of data it is. Because TXT tells me this is coming in from the input form. Okay. If I want to set up a work area of integer or a variable, I do it with a dim. Okay? So you do a dim. What did you do in JavaScript when you wanted to do that? When you wanted to define a variable?
VAR.
VAR. In Visual Basic, you use dim. Okay? So I'm saying dim work answer. Now, in Visual Basic, you have to tell it what type it is. What type of data it is when you define a variable. Okay, so I said here dim work answer as integer. If it is a text field, you dim it as string. String means a text field. But I dim this as an integer, yes.
Why didn't we have to use dim before?
Because we were only using things off the text boxes. We were only using things that somebody keyed in on
the
form.
The variables they put in.
That's right. So there's two places where you can get information. One is from the form. And we've been using up until now information that the user typed in on the form. Now I want to have a memory area for me to do some work in. And what I did here is I defined work answer as a variable. Okay? And gave it a type of integer. Now, and this gets into the tricky part. When I define something inside a subroutine, the only area of the program that understands what work answer is in this subroutine. It is local to the subroutine. So if I referred to work answer in another subroutine, it's going to tell me it's undefined. Okay? So if I define it in the subroutine, then it is only available in the subroutine. If I want it in all of the subroutines, I put it up at the top under public class, and it becomes what we call global. So this is local, and if I define it up under the public class, it is what's called global, which means all subroutines can use it. Yeah.
So do you mean just when you start writing the code, you're just putting that at the top?
Yes.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is, if I take this line, and I'm not particularly going to get rid of it or anything, but if I take this line and put it right up here, now it has become global. So now it is global, which means that any subroutine can use it. All of them can see it. So if I put it up there, it is global and it is available to every subroutine. If I just want it locally, I can define it inside the subroutine, and then it is local. So if I want to use it in this subroutine, if I want to use it in multiple or all of the subroutines, I put the definition right under public class, and then it becomes global. Okay. So what I want to, yeah.
What would be a situation where you would want it to be local instead of global? Because it feels like you should just put your variables in the global. Just
it's the safest way to go. I guess the best example is you're just doing a calculation and you only need it for that calculation And then you're going to come up with an answer that you're putting out on the form or something like that.
Is it more professional to do it that way?
There are fanatics on this subject that say you should always do it that way. And then when you pass information from one subroutine, you can pass information from one subroutine to the other, and you can then pass the data that you want that other subroutine to have. Needless to say, we're not even coming close to going there in our 2 weeks on Visual Basic. Okay? So for your purposes, yeah, probably defining everything as global eliminates the mistakes. Okay? And if you were to go into a professional, you could have a discussion with somebody as to, you know, which way is to go. But for your purposes, defining it globally would certainly work. So here, what I wanted to do was I only wanted to take and say, take text first and subtract text second from it. So I'm doing a calculation, and I'm storing the answer in work answer. And then I'm saying, okay, now test work answer. And if work answer is greater than zero, I'm going to write out the fact that it's greater than zero. If it's not, I'm going to write out the fact that it's not greater than zero. So work answer was just a means to an end. I wanted to do the subtract in order to be able to come up with one of these messages. So that made it very local to this particular subroutine, because I just needed it when I was finding that out. Okay? And it's a lot easier to write that. My other way of doing it could have been if text first dot text minus text second dot text is greater than zero. But that's kind of clunky. And so people tend to find a work area, define a work area there. Lots of times I put WK as work in when I'm defining. Other times I don't. But I never put TXT when I'm defining something, because TXT tells me that it came in from the form. You know, it came in from the form. And I don't want to get confused. So as long as I don't put TXT in the beginning, then I know pretty much that I defined it. Yeah.
Can you put VAR? Or
sure. VAR is part of the name, certainly.
Yeah, part of the name.
But you're still using DIM. But I could have said DIM VAR answer.
Okay.
And the way that people do these, all of these, is that little three characters that goes at the front, or in this case two characters, the next word they usually capitalize. That's kind of a standard way of doing it. Okay? So I have work answer greater than zero. So again, if I run this, come on, we can do it. I got it there. Sorry, hit the wrong place. Was thinking of something else. This time I hit the right place. Why isn't it coming up? Okay, so if I put in, let's see, 45 and 33, and I hit use variable, it comes back and says greater than zero. Okay, because 45 minus 33 is 12, and 12 is greater than 0. If I put down here for 57 and then hit it, it comes back and says not greater than 0, because 45 minus 57 is a negative 12. Okay, and that's not greater than 0. Okay. So, that's some if statements, and that is also how to do a nested if statement. Okay. So, I was doing a if statement within a if statement, which is the same thing you've been doing in logic and been doing in JavaScript, It's just now I have the if, else, and if, and the if, else, and if are the structure. Yeah.
So a nested if is just when an if is within another?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because for some reason I always thought it was just one if, but that's obviously not.
No, you go an if inside an if is usually referred to as a nested if. Questions? Okay, the first assignment that I gave you last week, and I said you could take extra time on it because we really only touched on if statements, is to do the same first assignment that you did in JavaScript, but now do it in Visual Basic. Okay, so you basically know how to do it now, so now do it, and hopefully you did some flowcharts or pseudocode to go with it. So now you're going to be doing it in Visual Basic. Okay, and the most that gets is in a simple if statement. Okay. Again, the examples for Visual Basic are over under programs, and those are some of the basic areas. Okay, I want to look at work areas and user input as the next two. So you can download those and unzip them. And then we'll also look at loops. So you might as well download those three and unzip them. Okay. And the first one is work areas. So I'm going to open work areas and give you a few minutes to download it. Not allowing you to what?
Make a new folder. Usually I'll extract it in a new folder, like on the desktop, to just make it easier to browse.
Yeah.
But for some reason, it's not.
When I run into that, I make a folder ahead of time.
Yeah.
And then I can download and unzip it into whatever. Because you're right, there are some times when it objects.
Is this something that we should have in our flash drives, or...?
It's up to you.
Okay.
You know where you can get them again, so. So this one is going to go more into work areas. And it's basically the same thing as the one you did before, except now I define something up here as group answer as double, which is another way of saying decimal. And I've defined it in the global area. So that was the main reason that we opened this. Okay? Is I've now defined it in the work area. And this one also has that answer that I was talking about with converting to integer and not converting to integer. So we're going to try that as we go as well. Okay? But notice that I define work answer as double, and then there are two places where I used work answer, and it was very successful using them because it had been defined up there as global. And since it was global, it was available to all of the subroutines. Okay. So now if I run this, and I put in 45 and 5, and I click on button problem. It says first is not bigger than second. And the reason is, again, that this is text. And it compares the 4 and the 5. And the 4 and 5, the second is bigger. So it comes out and says first is not bigger than second. Okay, so that's a lousy comparison. And the reason it's doing that is because it was left as text. Okay. So now if I leave those same numbers and I click instead on compare, it says first is bigger than second because I converted it over to integer and then it knew it was comparing numbers and that 45 and 5, 45 was the bigger. So as long as it knew it was dealing with numbers, then 45 was the bigger. When it thought it was dealing with text, 5 beat, because 5 is greater than 4, and it goes character by character. So 5 was greater than 4, and that told it that that was the bigger thing. Not the bigger number, but the bigger thing. Okay. Okay. The next one is
so that one was really similar to the last one.
Yes.
Okay.
The next one is user input. And user input is similar to prompt. Okay, I prompt when I'm over in JavaScript. Here I can ask for user input. And the user input will come up with a box for me to put it in. So I've sat here and I've got a form. And the form has a name and gross pay. That's all that's on the form. So when I click here, I'm getting work hours, work pay per hour, and work gross pay, which is going to contain an answer. And I am using an input box to prompt the user to enter something. So that input box is the same as the prompt. Okay, because over here on the input, I only have the person's name and the final answer. Okay. So, now when I run this, I type in Susan, and then I click on the click event, click on the button, and it comes up with a prompt and says enter the hours worked. So I'm going to say 40. And then click OK. And it says enter the pay per hour. And I'm going to enter 30. And click OK. And it comes up and tells me that the answer is 1200. Okay, so I took in those. I multiply the two things I took in by each other, giving me the gross pay. And then I said, okay, take the gross pay, format it as currency. That means put the dollar sign in, put the comma in, all that good stuff. Format it as currency, and then assign it to text gross pay. So when I assign it to text gross pay, I get the answer of 1200 there. So I put in a 40 there, and I put in a 30 there, and 40 times 30 is 1200. Yes.
Is it okay to run without the diagnostic tool up?
Yes.
Okay. I noticed yours didn't
have it. I just click it and make it go away. It's annoying.
Yeah.
But it also just takes up room, and I don't want the room taken up. Okay. So that's how you can take in input. Okay, I can also come in here and I could have put up a message box. I can't spell. A message box and said, I want to show week gross pay. Okay, so I can put up in a message box. So what's that going to be similar to in JavaScript?
Document.write?
No, document.write is more putting it on the form, at least I think. Okay, so I'm clicking here, and again, I'll do the 40 and the 30. And now I get that, I think of that more as an alert. Okay, so I get this pop-up message box that is similar to an alert. So it is popping up and telling me that the result of the calculation is 1200. Okay. So a message box is a pop-up. They also have another version of the message box, which is messagebox.show, and they write out the whole word message and box. But for our purposes, we're just going to use message box. And this is good in the same way that an alert was good, because if I'm having problems and I'm getting the wrong answer and something's not working correctly, then I can put in a message box to show me the data at a particular time and place. This is what the data is. Okay? So I put in the message box. It will show me what the answer was, and then I can click OK. Yeah.
Can you have both?
I do.
Like, say you wanted gross pay to be at the bottom of the form, but you wanted a message box for something.
Right, so now I've done message box. Now the big thing about input boxes and message boxes is everything comes to a grinding halt until I click that okay. Okay, so I can leave the room, come back 10 minutes later, it's still gonna look like this. So this is waiting for me to hit the okay. Okay, once I hit the OK, it then drops down to the next line and prints out the gross pay. But because I put the alert before I displayed the gross pay, I see that, it stopped everything, and then when I click the OK, it comes down and does that. Okay? Questions? Okay. So, again, if you look at this, there's an awful lot of similarities between the languages. I define variables using var, or I define them using dim. Now, the big thing in Visual Basic is I have to tell it what type of data it is. Whereas in JavaScript, it says, I'll figure it out. Okay? So I had to tell it as decimal, or as double, which I did in the last one. Either of those are like decimal. Or as integer, or if it's text, as string. Okay, so I have to tell it the type. Then I've got, just a sec, I've got an input box that is like the prompt. I've got an output, alert, and message box. Those are similar. Now the difference is I don't do a document write in this because I have set up on my form the places that I want to put my results, and so I just put them onto the form. And I've also got two ways of taking data in, which is I can take it in with a prompt or a input box in JavaScript, and here I can take it in with things on the form or an input box. Okay, so the input box is like the prompt, but I can also take things in from a form that have been put into text boxes, and I can do that here as well. So essentially, once you learn a language, the next language has a lot of similarities, and it just keeps, you know, my biggest problem is remembering the differences. Okay, this one requires that, and this one requires that. Which one was it again that required that? And that's the biggest problem that you end up having. But in a work environment, you tend to be programming mostly in a particular language. The company has chosen the language, and most of your work is done in that language. Okay? The woman that works for State Street Bank, Carolyn, that was in last Thursday, she programs in Visual Basic, VBA, which is Visual Basic with Access. And so that's what she programs in all the time. She doesn't program in C++. Okay? She programs in that. And Terry programs both in C++, I think, but he also programs in Magic, which is the guy that founded Meditech was an MIT guy that decided he wanted his own language. So he wrote his own language to use at Meditech. And now it's kind of being phased out because I think he made the decision not to add all the extras, and as that time went along, I don't know if that's the decision. But it's now they use other languages as well. But companies tend to use, pick a language and use mainly that language. Okay. Questions? You had one hanging around.
Yeah, I was just saying, if you were setting a variable with dim as a text, you said it would be as string?
Yes. Okay. Yes. If you come in here, you can see it lets you set it as 5,000 different things. But there are certain things that you really do, and string is one of them. There's string. Okay. So string is the way that you set it if you are going to be setting up quotes.
When you're typing something up and it gives you what you think, what it thinks you want, what are you hitting to move on in the line? Because I was trying to hit.
Well, you can hit that and it comes up.
What? Just click it.
Just double click it.
I would always hit enter and then it just brings me down a line. Then I do backspace.
Right. I find that actually I don't use those helpful little hints much at all, because then I have to move from typing to the mouse. And if I'm already typing as, it's easier for me to type decimal than it is to switch over to the mouse, locate what they want, and then, you know, that's a breaking of rhythm as far as I'm concerned.
I've been using it as a spell check.
That's true. It does that nicely. But, so I don't actually use hardly any of the drop-downs unless I am looking for something that I can't remember what it is I want to find. Then I'll go through those drop-downs to try to find the thing that I can't remember. Okay. Okay. And what was the third one I said? Save changes. Oh, sure. File open, project solution, and I said loops. Okay. So again, if you remember, and I guarantee you this is going to be asked on the final, three things that a programming language has to be able to support: sequence, decisions, and repetition or loops. It has to be able to support those three to call itself a programming language or script. Okay? So you've got to have sequence, which means drop down to the next one, next one, next one, next one. It's got to have selection, which is basically if statements, and it's got to have loops. And as I said, I guarantee you I will ask you that on the final. So everybody should now have it. Okay, these are some showing you how a loop works. And I said, how many times, and I'm going to have somebody enter something, the amount to add, enter something, and then the result. Okay? And I'm going to do process. Okay? So there are three kinds of loops that I'm looking at here, yeah.
I'm sorry, you said it was sequence, repetition, loops?
Yes, a sequence, repetition, which is ifs. Repetition, which is loops. And decisions, which is if. Okay. But what did I call it? I called it something else. Who knows? Sequence, ifs, and loops. Okay? So the other thing I should point out is that when I set things up, I can also give them an initial value, which you did in JavaScript. You could give it an initial value or not give it an initial value. So I can do all three things here: define a variable, give it a type, and give it an initial value. But I have to give it a type. I don't have to give it an initial value. So I set up two memory variables, word count, word total. And now I've got three different loops that I'm using. One of them is a while, do while. One of them is a do, until. And the other one is a for loop. So I've set up three different loops that I can use, just to show you how those three different loops work. Okay, and we need to watch as we're going as to what's happening here. So if I put in work count as 5 and the amount to add as 10, and then I hit process, it comes up with 50. Okay? Because I said do it 5 times, and the amount I want to add each time is 50. Okay, so here's my loop. I said do while word count, which started out at 1, is less than or equal to the number that I typed in. And since I'm comparing numbers, I want to make sure it knows that it's a number. So I do the C-I-N-T to make it sure that it knows it's a number, and specifically an integer number. So I'm saying do the word count while word count is less than or equal to the integer of how many. So it's going to do it when count is 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Okay, so it's doing it 5 times. Each time through, I add to word count. Okay? So I got the 50. Okay. Now we're going to go on and do the until. Okay. So I'm going to go out in this case and come back in. And I'm going to put in the 5 and the 10 and say until, and I get the 50. So the until is doing take, do, but I don't check. And since I don't check, that means it will always do it once, right? Always, always. Even if count was such that it shouldn't do it, it will always do it once. So I said take and add the text amount to work total and put the answer in work total. Add 1 to work count. And then I said, okay, loop, just a sec, loop until work count is greater than integer. Okay, so notice what I'm doing there. On the while, I'm saying do while word count is less than or equal to. So this is the condition to keep it in. This is the decision to keep it in. Down here, I said do until word count is greater. This is the condition to get out. So a do while has the condition to keep it in. Do while is less than or equal to. A do until has the condition to do it out, to get out. Do until the count is greater, and therefore I want to get out. So I've got one that is talking about keeping it in, one that is talking about keeping it out. So as long as word count is not greater than how many, than 5, I will keep doing the loop. When word count becomes 6, it will then be greater than 5, and I will get out. Okay? Now, you had a question. Yeah.
So, for the first one, you would have to do it at least 1 time in order for it to not let you in. Because word count is 1, right?
Yeah, but if I'd set word count differently.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is word count is 1. So after you do it once, it's now 2.
Yep.
So if you would input how many times? 1, it wouldn't work. Right?
Do word count is less than or equal to.
Yeah, so if you put...
Okay. But less than or equal to. Okay, so, yeah, so let's just do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you want to do? You want
just
me...
start it and then do it 5 to 10 like you did before.
Okay, what do you... So you want me to put...
5 and then 10.
Okay, I'm not sure what I'm doing.
And then just hit process. So now it made work count 2, because you've done it once, right?
No, I've done it many more times than once.
So that's why I don't get what's the point?
Okay, let's put out inside here, let's put out a message box that shows work count. That's the value of a message box, is I can show it. So now if I start and I put in 5 and 10 and say process, first thing it says is work count is 2. Notice that no change has been made. Work count is 2. Okay? And I click OK, and it now says it's 3. And I click OK, and it now says it's 4. I click OK, and it now says it's 5. I click OK, and it now says it's 6. Okay? So when it loops back, when it's 6, it says 6. Do while loop count, work count is less than how many? Work count is now a 6. 6 is not less than or equal to how many? So it's not going to enter the loop one last time. It won't enter the loop the last time. So when I click OK, now I get the answer. It did not process when it was 6. I added one that got it up to 6. Then when I came back and said 6 is not less than or equal to, I'm out of here, and dropped down to move work total to the text result. Okay? So every time it went through the loop, it added one.
And it was adding 10 to what?
To work total. I defined work total up here as 0.
Okay.
And it took and said, add text amount dot text, which is that, to work total, and store it in work total. So work total got increasing. So if we did a message box that also said display work total, we'd see it go 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. Okay? So that it would come out at the top.
I get it now. I was just looking at it.
Okay.
It allows you to have as many loops as you need.
Yes. And that's what the how many was doing.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I'm going to do it one last time and do it with the 4. And so I'm saying how many times 4 amount to add 10. And I click on the 4 and it gives me 50 one more time. Okay. Now, the neat thing about this is everything is done in the for statement. So I said, count, set word count equal to 1. Have it go up to how many? And have it step 1, which means increase by 1 every time. So I didn't have to write word count equals word count plus 1. Because step 1 means every time it goes through, it adds 1 to word count. So that has automated it. Okay? So that works. Okay, now I'm going to go in and do it. And say the 5 and the 10, and say process, and I forgot to take that out, so we'll go through it, and there's 50, and now I'm saying until, and it went up to 60. Got a problem, okay? What's the problem? When I hit the until, it just went to 60. The while worked fine. We know that the until worked fine when I did it all by itself. When I went out of the program, came back in, and did the until, it worked fine, yeah.
It's because the until is at the bottom, so it's doing it once.
Yeah, kind of. Kind of.
Because it was at work count 6. When
work count was at 6, right.
And it still does it once.
That's
and
right.
Checks.
Yes. So work count was a 6, and it came in here, And then it said, okay, 6 is greater than, or actually it added 1 when it did it once, so it's now up to 7. And then it said, 7 is greater than 5, so I'm out of here. What was the error that is in here that made this not work? How can I fix it, in other words? There are 3 things that I told you that you need to do to make a loop work. One is to, I'll find room here, set the control. One is to check the control. And the last one is to change the control. And the control in this one is word count. Okay. So I set it up here. And so whatever one I hit first, it was going to work. But I did that, so it worked fine. Then I came down here, and I had not reset word count. I checked it, I changed it, but I didn't set it. I didn't reset it. So what I needed to do is have a word count equals 1 in down there. Okay? So that when it came here, it reset word count to 1. Because otherwise, it left the while word count was a 6. It got here, and it still had the 6 because I defined it up there globally. So I could have said work count equals 1 down here, and that would have reset it. I could have also dimmed work count in each of these so that I did local definitions. And if I had said dim work count as integer equals 1 on each one of these, then it would have been all set. Okay. So I didn't set the control, which is the problem. Now let's look at what happens if I hit the 4. It goes up to 110. So how did that happen?
Because it's not even asking anything, right? It's just telling you add 1 to the text.
Right, but what it did is it said start word count out at 1. So it set word count right there inside the loop. It set word count. So it said for word count equals 1, so that reset word count. Up until it is 5. Step 1. So it reset. So this was a reset. And since it did a reset, it went through the whole thing. And 60 plus 50 is 110. So it did that one just fine.
Why wouldn't it reset the result? Or is that not how you wanted it to work? You just wanted it to reset the count.
Right. And if I want to, that was going to be my next question. But if I do it right, then I reset count every time, then I need to do what with work total. Okay. Work total up here is set at 0. I get the 50 in there. Here I keep adding the work total. So I need to reset that as well. Okay, so I need to, in this case, basically, maybe global was not the way to go. Maybe I should have defined them as local. Or else when I get down there, I need to reset. So I need to reset that as well. Yeah.
Could you add like a reset button?
Yes. Yes, I could. I think I'd probably think about just putting it in the spots. And I should do it on the do while as well. the do-while looked okay because that was the first thing I hit. But if I did the do-until first and then the do-while, what would happen? Yep. So now I come in and I say, okay, my 5 and my 10, which we're reasonably sick of by now, and the until works fine, and then the while stays 50. Because with the while, it never does the loop at all. Okay, because I've gotten up to 6. It comes up as 6 less than or equal to no. So it doesn't even go into the loop. It just stays out. So basically, I can either take these two things and put them at the top of each routine. Actually, I only need the total one down here. I don't need the loop count. But it doesn't hurt. I could put those at the beginning of each routine, or I could have loop count equals 0, 1, would totally equal 0 at the beginning of each routine. Now, I put this error in there just so we could have this discussion. In the real world, I would never be having 3 loops that did exactly the same thing in 3 different ways. Okay? So this is not a problem that is a realistic problem. But it does make the point that you need to reset at various times and set at various times. Okay, so there's where my problem lies. Questions? So when you are doing a loop, you can pick any one of these 3, yeah?
If you wanted to have an error message box in the do while, that would have to be outside of the loop, right?
Yes. What kind of? I think so.
Like
I don't know
like
what your what.
Like how it didn't let us go in since count was greater.
Right.
So it didn't work.
Right.
A message box will let you know that hey, this is a problem. Or an
yes. Yes. That's a lot more sophisticated code than we're going to do right now in our 2-week exploration of Visual Basic. Okay. But yes, you can set up errors, and there's a whole variety of ways you can set them up to catch things that are wrong.
Okay, so it's like a whole thing. It's not just, hey, put a message box outside of the loop, because then that would cry. Yeah.
Right.
So, okay. At least there's a way to do errors.
Yes. Okay, other questions? Okay, I don't want to start another one because we don't have enough time. I would like you to try to finish up that first assignment, okay? And the other thing that I'm going to put up there this week, which is the last kind of major thing, is a portfolio. So I'm going to talk about that just a couple of minutes. And I will put that up there. Okay, one of the things that we ask you to do, and this is specifically for CIS majors, but everybody's got to do it, is we ask you to start a portfolio that you can then use when you leave here to get a job, to show the work that you've done. Okay? So a simple portfolio is if you go to the HTML examples. Okay, templates for a portfolio. So there is index.html. So there's a very simple portfolio. My name, my email, my major, my option, description, professional goals. Just a very simple. Feel free to make it more interesting. Okay, this is a very basic example. Okay, so I've got And then I've got to click here to go to table of contents. Okay, so if I look at the code for this, this is HTML you know how to use. And this is an AH reference to another page. We talked about that when we looked at HTML. That's a reference to another page. And because there is no address information there, I know that both pages, this one and that one, will be in the same directory so that it can find it in the same directory. Okay? So there is the portfolio, the start of it. Okay? So if I click here, I go, whoops, I actually want to take a picture of that. If I click here, I go to the table of contents, and none of these work. But you can have click here to see a resume, and it will come up with a resume. Click here to see courses, and it could come up with a list of the courses you've taken. Click here to see evidence of my computing skills, and that's the one I really want you to do. And as I said, none of these work. They were just to show that you'd have click. So when you get to evidence of computing skills, instead of doing that, you can write just three things. Click here to see this, click here to see that, click here to see that. And you list a bunch of stuff you've done. One of them, and when I put up the assignment, you'll see that one of them has to be a database, just because I want you to try something with that extension, which has an ACCDB extension. So one of them has to be a database, one of them can be a web page, one of them can be an English paper you wrote. Whatever you want to do, mainly it should be computer things because that's mostly what a future employee cares about. Although they would like to see that you can write a decent paper, so that could be thrown in there too. Okay? So the portfolio has to list, I think I said four things. So instead of having these three, because you don't really have a resume yet, you haven't taken many courses yet, you can have click here to see my database, click here to see my web page introducing myself, click here to see, and bring up four different things. Okay? So that is an assignment that I will put up this week. I'm not going to give you another Visual Basic assignment. I'll give you one next week. But this week, because we don't have another class, you just have to finish up the one I've already given you. Yeah.
What was the first JavaScript assignment? It's the one we were actually doing. The code.
I think you had to do snow. The first problem was take in some snow.
Okay.
And the last problem was figure out payroll.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've got to redo those five problems now, but do them in Visual Basic.
Okay?
All righty. 12:14, not bad.